Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him, that is, Jesus took with him, Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this life that we live in, it can be difficult. I've experienced it. And I'm pretty certain that all of you have experienced it too from time to time. So what are we all in need of? We're all in need of encouragement. It can be a wonderful thing. So what is involved with encouragement? It's a little bit maybe like making a cake. You have to have certain ingredients. You put them together, you pop it in the oven, and out pops a cake. Something like that. I'm not too experienced at that. But when it comes to encouragement, though, I think there are three ingredients that are necessary for encouragement. So we need multiple people, we need communication, and we need love. So let's think about that a little bit further. So multiple people are necessary because they become the givers and the receivers of the encouragement. Communication is necessary because the multiple people have to interact in order to give and receive the encouragement. And then love is necessary because it's the love of one person. That love is what moves him in a genuine way to give encouragement to someone else. So we don't want encouragement to be something that we're just trying to force, in a sense. When it's genuine, it's going to come from here. It's going to come from the heart. It's going to come from love. With that said, let's get back into our gospel reading and take a look at some things the reading says and also some ways in which we find encouragement. So it begins by talking about 8 days prior to this time. So what's being talked about here? When we take a look at Scripture, we look earlier in the Gospel of Luke, and we believe it was about 8 days earlier when Jesus was asking his apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And then we know that Peter, he spoke up on behalf of the others. And as recorded in Luke, he said, "You are the Christ of God." We also know from the Gospel of Matthew that Peter didn't figure this out on his own. But we know that it was God, his Father in heaven. He is the one that made this known to Peter so that Peter could make a proper confession. So we know that much. And then think about what's about to happen, though. Peter has said to Jesus, "You are the Christ of God," but yet he really hasn't seen the real Christ. But they're about ready to go up on the mountain, and he's going to see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're headed. How can we find encouragement in that one verse? Have you ever been in a situation where you have a group of people and you're going to pick two teams? Maybe it's something like that happened back in maybe elementary school. So if you were the first one picked, wow, great source of encouragement. If you were the last one picked, well, we won't talk about that. But we know, though, that getting picked can be encouraging. So what happened right here? Well, Jesus had 12 people that were close to him, 12 apostles. So he looks at the 12 and he says, Peter, John, James, come with me. The other 9 of you, you stay here. That was a great source of encouragement that they were picked to go with Jesus, to go up on the mountain, and to have this awesome experience. And then, as we go on, it does tell us how, when he was praying, his appearance was changed. So up to that point, he always looked like a regular man, but now his appearance has changed. So now they can see that, in fact, he is God. And then it says that Moses and Elijah appeared. They appeared in glory, and they were speaking about Jesus' departure. Literally, in the Greek, it says they were speaking about his exodus, which was to occur soon in Jerusalem. We have a lot of encouragement going on there. So first of all, Jesus encouraged God the Father. How did he do that? He did that by going to him in prayer. So Jesus knew that a very difficult time in his ministry was coming. So think about this now. Did he wait until it got really difficult? Or did he say, I know the difficulties are coming. I'm going to get ready in advance. I'm going to go to God the Father right now. I'm going to gain wisdom. I'm going to gain strength. I'm going to gain all I need for the difficulties that are coming. That is a very wise thing to do. And when he went to God the Father, that was encouraging to God the Father. How can we encourage God the Father? By going to him in prayer. He loves to hear from us, his holy children. And then we see the Father encourage his Son. How did he do that? He did that by changing his appearance, and he also did that by sending Moses and Elijah to be encouragers. And then how did Moses and Elijah, how did they give that encouragement? What exactly did they say? Well, we don't know exactly what they said, but maybe something like this. Maybe they said, Jesus, long ago, we needed encouragement, and you were there for us. So now, we know that you're in need of encouragement, so God your Father, he has sent us to you so we can encourage you. And maybe they went on to say, we know that you are the chosen one. We know that you are the Savior of the world. We know it's going to be extremely difficult coming up, so we're here as your cheerleaders. We're here to tell you that your work is the most important work of any person in the entire world. And your work, when finished, will open the door for all people to be able to come into heaven. So it's important that no matter how difficult it becomes, that you stick with it no matter what. Forget about your will. Stick with the will of the Father. And in the end, we're all going to rejoice together. Maybe they said something like that. We don't know exactly. But somehow, though, I think they brought Jesus great encouragement. And then going further in the text, the Bible talks about Peter and the others being extremely tired. So it says they were heavy, they were burdened, they were weighed down with sleep. Have you ever had that happen where you feel like you have these weights on your eyelids and they're just like being pulled down? You can't open them no matter what. I think that's where Peter and John and James were at. They were just so very tired. But the Bible tells us that when they became fully awake, they saw Moses and Elijah there with Jesus. And then, shortly thereafter, it seems that Moses and Elijah began to leave, began to depart. And then Peter spoke up and said, Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, or we could say 3 booths. Think about the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. That's really what we have here. So it's like a temporary dwelling place is what we're talking about. So he said, let us make 3 of them, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then it says, not knowing what he said, or not understanding what he said. We shouldn't find that so unusual, because when we think about the Old Testament prophets, for example, many of the prophets did not understand what they were talking about. Think about it like this. God the Father had the message. That message was brought to them by the Holy Spirit. And their job wasn't to understand the message. Their job wasn't to change the message. Their job was simply to communicate the message. So in a sense, maybe that's what Peter was doing here too. We don't exactly know. But I think he was doing his best to try to prolong what was going on. Have you ever had a situation in your life where it was a very pleasant, pleasurable, enjoyable situation? I think all of us have had something like that in our lives. Life can be hard. It can also be good at times. Have we ever tried to somehow prolong that good time? We just don't want it to come to an end? Sure, I think we've experienced that too. I think that's what Peter was doing here. So Peter becomes fully alert. He liked the wonderful scene he was seeing with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And now Moses and Elijah are beginning to leave. And maybe it's a little bit like this. Now imagine if we were having some kind of a gathering here at Bethlehem. We were out back having a great time, and now it's starting to get dark. And now it's starting to get cold. And all of you are thinking, Pastor, I got to get going here. My warm bed is calling me home. I'm like, well, hey, why don't you just stay here? I happen to have this giant tent in my car. I could set it up real quick. I even have these cots I could put in there. And they have these special mattresses. It'll feel like your bed at home. I even have a heater I can put in the tent. And we can all stay here together. We can prolong the fun, and you don't have to leave. So maybe if I said that, maybe some of you would stay. I think that's what Peter was trying to do. He was trying to say, this is a wonderful thing. How can we continue it? And then the Bible tells us that as Peter was saying these things, it says a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice spoke from the cloud. This is the voice of God the Father, and he said, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. So what's that all about? When we think about the idea of the Lord and the cloud, that takes us back to the Old Testament. And over again, we see the Lord appearing in a cloud. We might call it the glory cloud. And the Lord used that cloud to be a source of encouragement for the people, so the people would not know they were alone. There is the Lord in the cloud, and they could always see him there. That was great encouragement. So now, imagine that here is this glory cloud, and it's not just over the top of Peter, James, and John, but it's like maybe you're driving and it's foggy, so like the clouds are on the ground, and now this cloud with God in the cloud, that comes and it surrounds them, and now they're in the cloud. On one hand, they were fearful. And when we think about being sinners, we should be fearful of having such closeness to the Almighty God, who is a holy God. But at the same time, though, for God to come to them in that way, they must have been so encouraged. They must have been so lifted up, thinking, wow, God loves us so much. God sent his Son for us. God is talking to us. God is surrounding us. This was an awesome, awesome thing that God did. And then God the Father said from the cloud, referring to Jesus, he said, this is my Son, my chosen one. So they had heard very, very similar words when Jesus was baptized. You might recall how again, right after his baptism, he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down upon him, and God the Father, he ripped heaven open, and he spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So he said that at the baptism, and now here he says almost the same thing, but then he adds something else. Did you catch it? The Father said, regarding Jesus, he said, listen to him. Listen to him. So this becomes a very important part of the message. So what does that mean, listen to him? If we look at it carefully, it means to hear what Jesus says. And then with the blessing of God, it means to understand what Jesus said. And then with the power of God, it means to do what Jesus said. Those are three very important factors. But I think people tend to fall into three categories, though. So there are some people that basically completely ignore Jesus. And then there are other people, a second category of people, they are ones who are pretending to listen. So they are seeming to want to hear the message and do something good with it, but they're really only taking it in. They're not really doing anything with it. And then you have the other category, and those are the people who hear the message. With the blessing of God, they understand the message, and with the blessing of God and the power of God, now they are putting the message into practice in their lives. My prayer for us is that God would lead every one of us in our hearts from the inside out to be people who want to hear what Jesus said. With the blessing of God, we understand what Jesus said, and with the power of God, we are willing to take that step of faith and to do whatever his word says. That's what God wants for us. That's what he meant when he said, listen to him. Let me conclude like this as we go back to the topic of encouragement. So we focused on it today, and I want to encourage all of us to basically take a look in the mirror to assess our lives on the topic of encouragement. So wherever we might be communicating discouragement, may God help us to repent, to change, to stop doing such things. Wherever God is leading us to give encouragement, may God help us to speak and act in true love. And wherever God is leading us to receive encouragement, let us receive it gladly. Let us receive it with thanksgiving. I want to encourage all of you that when the service is over and you're out in the narthex, try to find someone that you can encourage them. You can say, boy, that's a really sharp looking suit, or I really like that dress, or I'm so glad to see you today, or I'm so glad you're my brother in Christ. There's all kinds of ways that we can speak encouragement to other people. I know I enjoy it when I receive it, so I think you probably do too. So may God help us to pay attention to other people and see where we can encourage them and then give that blessing of encouragement. I invite you to join me in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for encouraging us by making us, by loving us, by saving us, by providing all that we need, by promising us a wonderful place with you forever. Help us to rejoice in our blessings, and help us to pay attention to others, to see wonderful things about them, to give them encouragement, and to gladly receive encouragement from others. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. This is our Wednesday schedule, services at 11 and 7, free meals at noon and 6. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.